Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'll tell you something. I can give you one sentence. Right. I can give you all one sentence
a few more.
Of what's wrong with football.
What?
John Utaka gets paid more than Cesc Fabregas.
Yep. It's the Football Ramble, and Pete's here.
Yes, I am.
Lucas is here.
What's up, fam? You feel?
And James or Jim is here.
All right.
Actually, I know we do all right, so you stepped in there.
Yeah, well done.
all counts.
Gentlemen, we had a little message from a chap called Liam Sharp, and he was asking...
Go on, Sharpie, son!
He said...
I don't know him.
What is your pre-match meal of choice?
Go on, get your generic Lukey Moore pie jokes in. Go on. Come on.
Well, Luke probably has pie and chips before, pie. After...
And during. Lols.
James or Jim, I'd like you to go first.
Well, I'd probably go with the patented Ramble Roll, which is made by Football Ramble's own Maverick Baker Steve Hobbs. Yeah. There's something different in it every week, but, you know, I'd lap it up every week if I ever played.
You just eat it without even looking at it. It's a Ramble Roll, it's good enough for me.
Absolutely. I wouldn't question it. Would I?
No. What if it was full of beaks? Maybe Steve Hobbs, he went mental one day and just put beaks in it.
I'd know after a bite, it wouldn't be that bad.
Oh, Stevie.
When I realised that Steve Hobbs wasn't actually a baker of that higher standard was when he sent a message the other week saying, the Ramble Roll of this week is a steak and kidney pasta. Well, I was like, what, in a roll? And he was like, yeah.
It's like a apparently pie in a roll.
They have it all the time up north, apparently.
Don't restrict him.
I won't, sorry. It's a maverick.
Luke, what is your favourite?
I just had a sort of wrap and then a nut bar, which has got a lot of sort of energy in it, which is what you need. I normally just go...
This isn't a match.
Okay, well,
we're not kicking a football.
If we're playing a game, a proper game, which we have done, and we always win, I have a banana normally. And in the morning, I'll have porridge in the morning with some nuts and honey and banana and stuff. And I'll definitely always have a banana before a game. That's how you get to sort of a man of my athletic physique, listeners.
Okay. not good for the banana trade. Pete?
I usually go for just something heavy like pasta, depending on what time I get up, to be honest, or cornflakes, but always a Red Bull.
Always
a Red Bull, 5 minutes before I kick off.
I'm just picturing you eating pasta, cornflakes and Red Bull together in the same bowl.
On the top. Weetabix.
You go for a Weetabix, do you, Mark?
Yeah, solid.
What do you have on it?
Bit of jam.
Milk.
Just milk?
Yeah.
Very, very sort of flavourless. And then how'd you get up for that? How'd you get up to look forward to eating that?
I let my the flavour come out of my feet. It doesn't make any sense.
Marcus's flavoursome feet.
I like a Weetabix, but I have to have a banana with it or something.
Yeah, well, you've talked about bananas.
Sorry, you're obsessed now.
it's a good food.
Do you know what, actually? I am going to give the points to Lukey Moore.
Thank you very much.
It was healthy.
Well deserved.
A lot of flavour. A lot of thought.
You're that guy from MasterChef.
Big flavours. Big flavours.
Yeah. Now we're talking about exceptional plates of food.
Yeah. It's just a plate full of bananas and you cannot go wrong with that.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Well, I just want to dive in.
Well, I'll tell you something. There's a lot on Rafael Benitez's plate at the moment.
Oh, there it is. Boom. It's almost like you've agreed on the question just for the link afterwards.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. I just heard James say that was good. 1-1 against Stoke City, Liverpool.
What a boring match.
Marvellous 10 minutes at the end.
Yeah, and actually that's fair. It was a great sort of thrilling end to it, but Just did you see the guy in the crowd who brought a big sort of huge P-45 for Rafa Benitez? Yeah, that was quite a Stoke fan.
He had the like Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs like logo.
Yeah, he really put some work into it.
You didn't have to even say it was a P-45. You sort of recognised it when you saw it.
You've seen a lot of them, have you, Luke?
Yeah. We've all been sacked on this show.
He works at Somerset House. Yeah. I don't know.
He actually borrowed it off me. just changed the name.
Maxi Rodriguez came on for his first game.
That's a great signing, actually. There's not been a lot of coverage of that. He's a very, very good player.
I mean, he's not had a great...
For free, especially.
No, it was a 1.5 million one.
No, so, it wasn't. It was free. Atletico just wanted him off the wage bill, so they didn't even...
He was a good player a long time ago. I need to see him again. I've not seen him for a while. He's been in and out of the team, hasn't he?
He's not had a great sort of last couple of years, but I think...
He's got the class, though, is what you're saying, though, James, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I think it's a gamble worth having if he's, they're not in a great state and
in their current situation.
No, definitely. I mean, Benitez is in a weird situation where he has really got to sort of scrape around the bargain bin and try and pick up a few Harry Redknapps, hasn't he? Because he hasn't got any money. So the thing I find strange is that they've sanctioned this signing of Alberto Aquilani, who clearly can't play two games in a week. And he's not an old man.
Well, they're expecting him to probably get fitter a lot quicker than he has. But it's such a gamble, isn't it?
Like, apparently Torres' injuries operation's been a success.
Okay, six weeks out, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, James, you were saying.
Obviously, Aquilani is a replacement for Alonso. Alonso was an integral part of that side. And that's such a gamble to make a signing that is key from the beginning and just risk not having him for half a season,
which
has been the case.
Well, Benitez's reason was he played 120 minutes earlier in the week. And so now he can't play today. And it's sort of like,
well, he's not the only one, is he?
No, exactly. I mean, why can't he? Mm. I don't understand. I mean, I know he's coming back from injury, but he's been back from injury officially for a while.
But why can't he, Pete?
Yeah, come on, Pete, tell us. You've got all the answers.
Pete, you live nearest there.
I just don't understand why he bought him, because he was clearly not fit when he bought him. So up yours, Benitez, and up yours, everyone. Just up yours, everyone. Yeah. I enjoyed Five Live's first half coverage of the match with Chris Waddle's inability. I mean, grotesque inability to say the word penalty. I mean,
you were saying it wrong. You were saying it wrong.
Because I was thinking of the word penalty, which is what he insists on saying every single time.
Penalty.
It drives me mental.
A lot of people say penalty. Penalty.
That annoys me. It wasn't even a penalty.
But at least that's phonetically close. Yeah. At least you know what we're talking about.
I mean, there's a lot of talk, with the P45 in the crowd. Rafael Benitez.
That wasn't actually his real P45 though, Marcus. It was just like a model.
Way too big.
Well, it fooled me. Ronnie Whelan, ex-Liverpool, he said that he's come out and said that Rafael Benitez, he should have gone a long time ago. He said they've got to do it now. Do they bring in someone until the end of the season? Kenny Dalglish is back at the football club. Yeah. Could he do it until the end of the season and see what happens? I think Ronnie's asking more questions. Yeah.
I love it when old ex-pros pipe up just heap pressure on the bosses of their own.
Could Kevin Keegan come back?
As soon as he's probably...
Two problems with that. One is that Ronnie Whelan is showing a real basic lack of understanding of the situation. Liverpool can't afford to sack Rafa Benitez. That's why he's still in a job. Two, it's like James said, it's an absolute twat trick to be piping up when you're not even ballsy enough to get a job in football yourself and you just sit there. I mean, who... I can't think of...
Whoa.
I was about to say,
I was going to make a joke then. You ruined it. I'm even subverting my own presenting team.
We've got a live now. I think it's fair to say that before the recording it was quite clear, Luke made it quite clear that he is a live one today. So I'm just saying, beware everyone, alright? Anything can happen.
I've got a cold, and so as a result I've overstepped the mark on the amount of vitamin C I've been consuming. So I'm
Vietnam, I think. Yeah. The amount of Vietnam films I've been watching, I bet there's too many.
But coming out of the trees, man.
I do think that, Whelan, it's annoying, like James says, when they come up 10 a penny and start piping up. I mean, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because Benitez, if they could sack Benitez, they probably would have sacked him by now, and they can't afford to. So the only way Benitez is going to leave is if he steps away, and he won't do that.
Ryan Barbell has been piping up as well on Twitter, and apparently before...
Tweeting up.
Sorry?
He's been tweeting up.
Yeah.
He has, yeah.
That's the official term.
If I may. before the manager's pre-match press conference on Friday, he said that he told everyone that he'd been dropped from the squad to face Stoke City. And Benitez sort of brushed that aside. And as Benitez put it, he said, I can't stop people talking. Which I think is a bit of a...
Cop-out.
Yeah. It's weird because Manchester United just recently stopped all of their players using social networking sites at all.
Well, after Benitez said that, he went on to say, Babels went to say, he said, the boss left me out, no explanation. And he started kind of moaning a bit, and Benitez said, everyone has a Twitter. It's impossible to stop people talking. It's not like the past. Yeah. And Bubble started moaning on Twitter, saying, what happened after a first good season? Scored 10 goals, young talent of the year. Then this is my second season. I'm not playing at all. What on earth's going on?
Yeah. It's an odd one because I don't have a lot of time for Babel moaning about that because it's the manager's decision and ultimately, and he picks the players he wants to play, and that's fine. I think Liverpool fans can have a bit of a few grievances with the way the team are playing, and Babel is I mean, let's face it, Babel's a good player. He just doesn't play very often. If he could play more, I mean, I was talking to a Liverpool fan about this week actually, and they were saying, oh, I hate Babel, I hate him, and I'm like, well, if you did your job for 20 minutes every week, would you be that good at it now? You probably wouldn't. Yeah. So he needs games, especially at that stage of his career. So I do see it from Babel's point of view, because he needs to say, okay, if you don't want to pick me, if I'm surplus to requirements and I'm not even going to be in the squad, then don't ask a ridiculous valuation for me when I want to move.
Sort of between the lines though, in what Benitez has said about Babel, he has very much given the impression that he's just not trying and that he's just sort of like just slacking off, and it seems to be very much the case that he's trying to push him to actually make a bit more effort and stake a claim rather than just sort of moan about not getting any action. It's just baffling for me, this whole situation at Liverpool, because last season they came closest to winning the league than they have, like, well, since the inception of the Premier League really, and they've lost Hippier and Alonso from that, and that's all it is. It's just those two players, and it's such a sort of emphatic difference.
I think they overachieved massively last season, and that's accentuating their problems now. I think they thought they were just a little step or two away from the title, and that this year, with the experience they got last year, they could do it. When I think in reality they massively overachieved, and now this year they're okay. They are underachieving, but it's just accentuating the difference because they did so well last year.
Wigan won at Wolves. Should Stearman have been sent off? Did you see that one?
I saw that one, yeah. That was the little drag down the penalty area.
Yeah, it was a funny little one.
It would have been booked, though, hadn't
it? Yeah, and that was a shocking challenge. You could have gone for the first one, to be fair.
Mm. I think, letter of the law and all that. Dragging, putting him back on the shirt and stuff.
A good 3 points for Wigan. I mean, probably expected it, though. Wolves down to 10 men. But Roberto Martinez has said that Charles and Zogby's recent performance. You all right, Luke?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Roberto Martinez has said that Charles and Zogby's recent performances have reminded him of Lionel Messi.
Bit of lesson about that, the better.
Yeah.
Perhaps you chaps disagree.
I do. Okay, well, I'll put my hand up, I definitely do.
Probably the same height,
maybe? Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, Zogby did play very, very well, but it's just... Do I even need to carry on?
No, you don't. Spurs Hull, great performance from Myhill in goal. Mm. Great double save.
He's a bit of a weird character,
Byers.
Did you see
that double save?
I did. I saw the one where it hit him in the head the second time. No, it's great. Yeah. But I think that he slipped under the radar, under our radar, Byers Myhill. He's a bit of an odd one.
Yeah.
After the game, when they drew 0-0, he was like almost celebrating the point by pulling his shirt over his head.
I saw that.
So he looked like he had no neck and like walking around like that. And then that double save he made.
Yeah.
And then I initially thought he got a bit dazed because it hit him in the head. When he just sort of got up on his knees and knee walked over to the post, just started hugging the post.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, what is he doing? So I'm not sure if he's mental, but if anyone can confirm, that'd be brilliant.
He was spectacular.
He played very well, yeah.
He really was. Hull have signed Amir Zaki on loan for the rest of the season.
It's
an interesting one.
It's a strange signing, though. It's a right teapot for the Wasps, isn't it, signing him? He's,
it's a cartload of monkeys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seriously, though, I want
a bathtub full of zebras, that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pillowcase full of pandas.
I want to take issue with the fact that you couldn't get many zebras in the bathtub and you can get any pandas in a pillowcase.
It's
exceptionally
large. Well, it depends on the size of each. Depends on the sizes of said things.
It's true. Spurs, tactically, I know Myhill played well, and I think Redknapp's got a little bit of license to say that, you know, there's nothing they could do about it. But I thought that Spurs tactically were poor.
Did you?
Against I don't know why you picked Keane to fart front. I would have definitely gone for Crouch.
Keane's getting a lot of stick from Spurs fans at the moment.
Is that because he's not very good?
Well, he seems to have really gone down in the club's the fans' estimations at least. It's a shame. It's weird, that thing, if you leave, even if only for 6 months.
But
can
I do
really
think that's
make a difference when you come back.
It's because he's not playing well, I think. Genuinely, I think.
Yeah. If we move across North London to the red side of things, Sol Campbell is going to be found there.
Yeah, well, apparently William Gallas has got a bit of a... I think it's a back injury, isn't it? He's been carrying around with him, as I suppose you would, logically.
can't just drop it. I'll leave that here. I've got football to play.
Yeah. I'll leave this disc for a bit, and then I'll put it back in when I'm feeling better. So, yeah, I mean, he might get his debut fairly soon. We don't know.
He's only played
one game this season, though, hasn't he? So I really don't know
he didn't get
how
on the
good
bench.
He can be expected
he played
to
for
be.
For the Arsenal reserves.
He didn't make it to the squad against Bolton, though, did he? didn't make.
No, I don't think so.
He wasn't in the squad then, definitely not.
But he's basically said it. I'm ecstatic, really, to be back at Arsenal, and I have worked bloody hard to get here.
Is he getting paid then?
I guess so. Well, when he left before, Arsenal paid up his contract because he decided to leave and become an actor, as we've
no, didn't he say he wanted to go overseas? And he decided to know at Pompey.
I think that's when he decided maybe being an actor is a bit silly.
Are you sure and he should sort of readjust his. Yeah, yeah. Did he get. I'm going overseas. He got to the sea and went.
No, well, Portsmouth is technically an island. Portsea Island is the main. So he's not telling a lie there.
Exactly. Yeah. Get off his back.
Yeah. Get off William Gallagher's back as well. He's hurt it.
Yeah. That's right. Of course, Arsenal beat Bolton 2-0.
It's a good performance, I thought.
Mm. Owen Corr's first game in charge of Bolton.
It was a real confident boost in performance. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be loving that.
Yeah, it was very, very I was encouraging.
I was always going to be interested to see how Owen Corr set Bolton up, actually, especially at home to Arsenal. But, I mean, they weren't really in it. At 1-0, they sort of...
They started very brightly, Bolton, to be fair to them.
They didn't ever really get anything out of the game, sort of, for me, though. They played okay.
Great to see Meredith get goals. So it's superb control for him to bring that down before he scored. And
Certainly was.
The Fabregas-Eduardo 1-2 for the first goal was superb as well. I mean, Fabregas has just been on fire this season. I think he's got 13 goals in all competitions. And
about 12 assists in the Premier
League.
He
needs to stay fit, basically, for Arsenal to sustain a challenge for anything, really.
Definitely, I agree.
Chelsea don't look as though they're missing their African players. 7-2 against Sunderland.
No, was it like five different scorers or something? Yeah. That was the big point for me, I thought.
Sunderland put in one of the worst performances I've seen in the Premier League. Just, they gave up. They actually gave up.
I saw Darren Bent when he scored the second consolation goal. He looked openly pissed off. Yeah. He's like, I can't believe it.
But that was weird because they scored those two goals after having clearly given up. Yeah. It's like they relaxed and actually scored a couple of goals.
Who was the other guy who scored for Sunderland? Because he...
Zender, he was
genuinely pissed.
Darren Bent looked like he was annoyed at himself for bringing attention to himself. The camera's going to be on me now.
Has Darren Bent scored against every one of the perceived big four then?
Darren Bent has scored a lot of goals this season. I don't know the answer to that question.
12 goals he's got this season.
Yeah. I think he has. I think he might well have done. Forgive me if he hasn't.
Is anyone up for joining me and giving some credit to Ashley Cole for that goal?
Oh, God, that was
glorious,
incredible.
Isn't it? All on his left foot, man.
He's a wonderful strike.
He's on the plane.
Yeah, I think he is, yeah.
Frank Lampard's calling for Joe Cole to stay at Chelsea. Would you like to see him stay or go?
If he can get some regular games at Chelsea. I like to see that guy play. I think he's an exciting footballer.
Yeah.
I think wherever he goes.
I think it's very important.
Seconded, Pete.
I think it's very important for England as well when he's fit. I mean, when he has been fit, which is obviously a long time ago now, he's been England's most creative player. And I think his form carries through for England in a way that not a lot of players in that side do, and he's important for us. I mean, he would be my first choice on the left if everybody was fit, I'm sure most people would agree with me on that. Just, I hope he can get a lot of games under his belt at the moment. And I think Chelsea's the best place for him, really, because they're such a big side sort of fighting on all fronts.
He's good enough to play for them. Yeah, I think, like Pete says, if he can play games, it'd be great to see him stay there.
Well, I mean, how long left have we got of the African Nations? I mean, he's going to play a few more games this month, I guess.
The problem is that formation that Ancelotti plays, which is it works for him, but it's quite a restrictive formation as far as midfield go for the personnel he's got. He's almost sort of slightly shoehorning players in, and he plays...
When he was given a free role, he had a good time.
But he would do, but he's not going to play ahead of Lampard, is he?
No.
So that's the problem.
Well, he does play there instead of Lampard. Lampard doesn't play in the same role, Joe.
Lampard's pushed out wide, though, isn't he?
Lampard plays on the left of the two in the middle, Cole was up the top on his own.
Cole plays behind the front two, which means Lampard is pushed out wide. I'm just questioning whether that's the best move for them, is what I'm saying. So the personnel they've got doesn't necessarily fit into that formation, in my opinion.
It's not great for England as well, I guess, because he'd never get his game there.
Well, if you look at the formation England play, that's tailor-made for Joe Cole. Mm. Those three behind that top man.
But he's only ever been playing on the left, though, hasn't he?
Well, that's because they play in a slightly different formation under McLaren and before that under Ericsson. But under Capello, they play that three behind that one.
Well, you're asking him to play where Gerrard plays.
I'll play him over Gerrard.
The great thing with Joe Cole, though, is he always adapts. And he has done for England as well, wherever he's had to play. And he'll just be superb in any position.
I'll tell you something, it may sound controversial, I'm not sure if you agree, but Joe Cole performs to his best of his ability for England.
Yep, absolutely.
Steven Gerrard doesn't
do
that. So why not play him ahead of Gerrard? Gerrard's got no divine right to that position.
Mm.
Can I just ask you a question about the Everton match?
Why not?
Well, Pienaar, when he scored his free kick.
Yes.
Why did he go over to one of the stewards and hug him? Was that his dad?
I didn't see
that's all I'm thinking. He scored his free kick. He ran over to one of the stewards and started hugging him. Just one steward.
Did he?
Pointed at him and ran over. If anybody's got any ideas why he did that, There's probably no relevance to anybody else in this room, but Pete at the Football Ramble, that'd be worth
it. Email Pete. I don't know.
He's having a good time of late, Pete, now.
I think he's I think he's a good player.
I think it was a strong performance from Everton. I really, really enjoyed that match. It's good.
It's like they were entertaining you.
I was enjoying Donovan players.
Pete, you're a little bit of a secret Everton man, aren't you?
I am a little bit. Yeah, I'm a secret toffee man.
I'm a secret toffee.
But I like Donovan's. Did he do a bicycle kick? He did do a bicycle kick that hit the bar, didn't he?
Yeah, he played well.
Landy cakes.
He looks like he's been there for ages.
I love LA Galaxy's sort of business model of not paying their players in the close season. They just go, right, you go out and launch. You go out and launch. No, it's not true, but it sounds like it.
Everton, what are they? Unbeaten in seven or something now. They're having a nice run.
They just
cheekily getting up into that top half of the table.
Yeah, it's good. David Moyes is just the most underrated manager. I know he does get a lot of plaudits.
Underrated in this room, James.
No, I know he isn't. But
I don't think he's underrated.
Well, I think he's going to be a candidate to take over from Ferguson. Surely,
I think he deserves a bit. He deserves a bit more money. I think give him some more. Give David Moyes a bit more money. Because he sells all his players that he brings and
that's the new Pete Donaldson campaign.
Give him some more money. David Beckham for right back didn't work.
No.
Give David Moyes some money.
None of them are going to work.
Why don't you give the Glazers some more money?
That'd be nice.
All right,
they've got enough.
Apparently they're going to have to sell Old Trafford.
And it's Wayne Rooney, apparently.
Everything that goes with that. And Bobby Charlton.
the pitch itself.
Bobby Charlton would still get in Pompey's team. I saw that the chairman of the Independent Supporters Association was saying that he thinks that Alex Ferguson should step down.
It's the only way.
What's that guy's name?
It's Jonathan Flax, isn't it? It's
Johnny Flax, his name, isn't he? Johnny Flax.
Him and Ferguson used to be quite good mates. Before this Glazers business, I'm pretty sure I remember reading that he used to meet with him all the time. You can imagine Ferguson seeing that. Right, so you want me to step down? Right. Yeah. The problem with that is I sort of quite like being manager. But I understand what he's saying. He's supposed to be he's a bit of a champagne socialist.
Of course he's with his racing horses and all that sort of palaver.
It's
worrying times for them though.
I mean, you've got the Hickses, the Glazers. But Randy Lerner is
doing a good job still. Yeah,
he's doing a wonderful
staying at the limelight. Just get them get on with
it.
Just
being sensible, giving them money where they need it.
Interestingly, do you see that? I saw a report.
This is the Brian Clough school of thought with regards to chairman, isn't it?
Just
hand the money over. Stay out of the way.
To be honest, it is.
I've signed so and so. If you can just write a check to, that's what I used to do.
We talked about.
Interestingly, you know those sort of new rules that Platini's mooted to change football. You can't have this amount of debt, and it's not allowed under FIFA. Yeah. They're going to change or UEFA. You see the list of clubs that are won't be allowed to compete.
No, I haven't.
It's like Real Madrid, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, all these teams.
Oh, superb.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that's going to backfire.
It's particularly galling for Arsenal because that's just because of the stadium.
Yeah, it is.
I
think they're doing all right.
Wait, let me tell you something. Roy Hodgson's rubbing his hands. Here we go, boys.
They had another poor result at the weekend, though, Fulham.
I know.
Don't.
Who
scored Blackburn's goals? Samba and Nelson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Little header.
Wonder how they went in. Wonder if they were big high balls. one was a free kick, wasn't it, off the training ground?
Schwarzer came out to get it, just nod it over him.
Is that a lovely little one, Marcus, was it?
Oh, it's a lovely little
It's a lovely
one.
Getting a lot of flack, actually, at the moment, any old fat Sam Allardyce.
Jonathan Flack.
A lot of Johnny Flack.
We have to mention the FA Cup upset. Another one.
Yeah.
Another big team's gone out. Reading beat Liverpool. And we talked about Liverpool. Let's talk about Reading. What a win.
Like Ronaldinho, the FA Cup is back. It is back.
Yeah, it was great. It's absolutely inept for performance from Liverpool.
I was gutted for Joby McEnough when he... it would have been the goal of his career.
I'd appreciate anybody knows me never to mention that again because it genuinely depresses me. I was ranting about this on Friday night. I was going, right now, wherever that guy is, maybe they've got a week off, he's having a drink or whatever. Yeah. They didn't, but he might be. He's probably thinking about that moment because he could have been an absolute hero.
Can you imagine, though, if Reading went out?
Yeah.
I mean, I was so pleased just for him. They scored.
To be honest, he did play very well, though, so he can still hold his head up high.
He sent the keeper down.
I know.
Just like dink it.
Just a little chip or smash it or just, I don't know, bite the ball and jump into the net.
And then in a year's
anything but what he did.
Yeah. And in a year's time, when we do all the old opening questions, when everybody's forgotten them, and I said, what's your favourite individual goal? That could have been up there.
Yeah. I think Jamie McInerney.
Funny for that.
Yeah.
He almost secured his place on those like Danny Baker videos at Christmas forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Along with Daly and Atkinson.
Yeah.
Daly, the one for Villa again.
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
And Georgie Weah. Yeah.
We will never see that goal again without the sound effect. Boing, 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 over the top of it.
He's now going to be in Danny Baker's football gaffs. Yeah. Isn't he?
But I mean, it's remarkable. Liverpool put out the FA Cup by Reading, who are currently 21st in the Championship.
Yeah. Mm. It's a great level of the FA Cup, Marcus. It's the magic. It's the magic. So do you like it whenever the FA Cup comes round?
Love it.
And all the pundits and presenters always refer to foreign players and act like they've never played in the cup competition.
Yeah. That's right.
Boy, they won't know this sort of atmosphere, will they? What, playing against a lower league team in a cup competition? Yeah. I'm pretty sure they landed it last week. You know, yeah. It happens all the time. Mm. England aren't the only country with an FA with a football cup.
Also, particularly on ITV, the commentators, this must have come from above because all of them do it. And they all sound the same. Have you noticed that? They all sound like they've sort of spawned in the same petri dish. Yeah. And it's always... They always go on about, oh, the magic of the cup is back. Oh, who says the magic of the cup is dead? Every, like, 2 or 3 minutes, there'll be one of them sort of insisting that it's brilliant and you should watch ITV because it's got the cup on it.
But has anyone at any time ever said that the magic of the cup was dead?
Well, the only time I can remember happening, but it happened pretty big when United pulled out of it to go to the World Cup.
Yeah, that's huge.
But apart from that, I mean, it's a bit of a misnomer, I think.
Mm. Well... I don't believe in magic anyway. Well, Reading are 21st in the Championship. Roy Keane and Ipswich are down in 19th.
Yeah, he's trying to kick-start them, isn't he? But they're not losing that many games, Ipswich, overall.
They're not winning that many.
No,
they're
trying.
The league table doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't. It's never told me a lie.
Derby are 18th.
Yeah.
Robbie Savage was hit in the face commentating at Villa.
It was live, wasn't it?
Mm. It was, yeah.
Yeah, that's classic stuff.
You appreciate that.
It's a bit of blood, apparently.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, a bit of blood as well.
Giddy up.
Yeah.
He also was very annoyed with one of the local journalists up in Derby.
That was wonderful stuff. the reason that was so great is because he went on this rant and he wouldn't leave it. He wouldn't answer any questions.
It was on the BBC website.
Yeah, it was on, I think it was probably on BBC Derby or whatever it is. And BBC Radio Derbyshire or something like that. I can't remember the specifics, but he wouldn't leave it. He wouldn't answer any questions. He kept going back to the same bit. But he sort of fell down because...
Well, the journalist said there's been rumours coming from the Derby camp that the players aren't happy and that they don't think that the coaching staff are fit for the job.
Well, yeah. Who said that then? Who said that?
Yeah. But he didn't really have. He couldn't articulate himself well enough to be able to carry it off. Mm. To be able to sort of really force it.
That's
home.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. I can't stand it when he's on when he's commentating on Five Live. He's the commentator's friend.
Yeah. He's called the co-commentator.
It sounds like the commentator's friend. Let me tell you, he just disagrees with everything. He spent about 5 minutes explaining that it was the Maradona turn that Fellaini did, not a Fellaini turn or not another turn around the world or something.
Because my son's in Manchester United's youth setup and apparently at 6 years old they're learning the Maradona turn and it's just
that
one
doesn't actually really sound like
it's
that.
Just quite one level of sort of whinging. He's so contrary.
Robbie Savage always really really goes on about when he won the FA Youth Cup with Man United with like David Beckham and Paul Scholes and all those players. He just won't let it go. He still harks on about it like it's this massive achievement, like winning the Champions League in your later career.
I'd still go on about it.
Yeah, same.
In the crowd.
Can I say something maybe slightly controversial? I don't dislike Robbie Savage.
No, I think he's
weirdly warming to him.
I think he's one of those people where you could probably take a piss out of and he wouldn't mind that much.
I watched a Hall England match standing next to him in a Leicester student pub and he seemed fairly affable.
Did
there
he?
You go.
That's Savage. Exactly it.
Until someone says something slightly controversial, they disagree.
I disagree. The condom machine dispenses 5 different condoms.
Savage is okay.
Is he, though? That's the question.
Is he, though, Marcus?
He told me he was!
Marcus, that's the question.
I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Forrest are up to second.
That's glorious.
Hey!
I'd love to see Forrest back
Wouldn't
in the
we all?
Scared of Forrest. Scared.
I'll tell you what, they're unlucky in the FA Cup because they haven't come up against a real form Birmingham team. Mm. You fancy them for a bit of an upset. They're playing out of their skins at the moment.
Yeah. Well, it might be good for them to just be able to concentrate on the Championship, you know. I mean, obviously they'll be destroyed going out. The magic will be gone from the players' bones.
They'll be magic-less.
But
the good thing about Forest is that they've got the... They've presumably got the infrastructure, and they're a big enough club to be in that Premier League. You know, yeah. It's not like a team who's come up like with no infrastructure or like a Pompey. Forest are a genuinely big club. You know, they're previous European Cup winners, so they got hopefully got the potential to stay up there, and they should be in there because they're a genuinely big club. I like Forest.
I just like how everyone expected Notts County to just climb up.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Just Forest are murking them. They're murking them, aren't they?
Maybe they've been like just pushed on by that. Yeah. You never know.
Get Forest in the Premier League.
Yeah. Get them on that plane. Get them on that plane.
The African Cup of Nations has been playing away, and Cameroon beat Zambia 3-2. Terrible mistake from the keeper.
That's woeful.
Jeremy's goal.
We'll stick it on the ramble tube.
I know, James, you mentioned something. I haven't seen the Mozambique keeper.
Yeah. You guys have seen the Mozambique
keeper?
I'll
put it on the Facebook fan page.
It's unbelievable.
He almost broke his own neck.
Yeah, basically what happened, Marcus, is he... The ball was coming towards him, just sliding along the floor. He knelt down to just sort of cup it, as you would, but then, sort of accidentally did a forward roll and threw the ball through his legs. Like, he didn't concede a goal. You would have seen it a million times by now if he had. Yeah. He managed to smother it afterwards, but it's just mental.
It's all good, clean fun.
Yeah, that was Cameroon's first points of the tournament. They'd have gone out if they didn't win that.
Cameroon, yeah, they beat Zambia, and they left it late. Yeah. Left it late. Ivory Coast beat Ghana.
They're through, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a consolation for Ghana at the end. Ivory Coast are through.
Essien's out, isn't he? Now?
Essien's run out of the tournament. Egypt have qualified.
Yeah.
Egypt, very, very strong contenders every time.
In the Nigeria... Yep. In the Nigeria
well, they won the last two.
Yeah. In the Nigeria game, someone piped up and said to me, oh, Yakubu's penalty was dodgy. He always takes penalties like that. It's mental. I used to watch him at Fratton Park when he used to take penalties.
What did he do?
Well, what he does is he... When your first four or five times you see it, you think...
Does he have a bit of a side...
Dodgy run, penalty. But then after a while, you think, oh, he must be doing it on purpose, because he does it every time and it always goes in. Yeah. He sends the keeper down, and the keeper always goes down, and then he just ciphers it really slowly, just slightly from the middle, and it always goes in. It's a great... I don't know why keepers that aren't wise to it. Because he does it every time.
Yeah.
But so, in my opinion, it wasn't a dodgy penalty, because it just always seems to work.
Oh, well, they beat Benin 1-0.
Yeah.
Obafemi Martins had to leave Angola to appear in court in London.
Yeah, what was that about?
Overage? It's a bankruptcy thing, isn't it?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
We ran that thing recently saying that he was always out of wages by Monday. He'd spend them all weekend, wouldn't he?
That's right.
So there might be something to do with that.
Yeah. One of the funniest stories from the African Cup of Nations...
And there are many.
...of late was the Mali team were reduced to begging security staff to allow them onto the pitch for their scheduled training time.
God.
Unbelievable. And that didn't work, So they tried to climb through some windows to get in there. Because windows lead to pitches.
Do you reckon they're doing it, and in the middle of doing it, they're thinking to themselves, like Freddy Kanute was thinking,
I'm a millionaire.
I shouldn't need to be doing this.
Yeah. I pray for a Champions League top Liga club, you know.
They're getting spanked off Barcelona without me, and I can't even get on the training.
Well, apparently they couldn't get in, so they just headed back to the hotel, and they hadn't trained for their must-win match against Malawi. And this is because...
That's outrageous.
Of course it is. This is because Malawi... This is because Mali's scheduled practice time, they couldn't get on there because the Algerian team was on the pitch.
Right.
But they were allowed to stay there.
Right, okay.
Why? Well...
Not the whole pitch anyway. half a pitch each.
Why didn't they just
play each other?
Yeah.
Well, later the organising committee said that Algeria had been at fault and not the organising committee.
Sure, that's a great consolation.
Why isn't this a huge thing? Surely that must be tied in with the rules of the actual tournament.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, the local African Cup of Nations organising committee, or LOC.
Lockdown.
The media officer...
Virgilio Santos.
Thank you.
Virgilio Santos.
Santos said, this mix-up had nothing to do with us. What happened was this. Mali was supposed to travel to Cabinda today, but delayed their trip until Sunday.
Not like a football governing body to pass the buck, is it?
What does Sepp Blatter say? Pass me a pasty or something.
This didn't only happen to Mali, it also happened to Malawi. They had 2 days before they lost to Angola, where they were unable to train because the pitch they were scheduled to be using was in use. And that's happened twice.
It's like when you're playing five-a-side and the teams before just won't fuck off.
Come on, lads. Come on, lads. Time.
Next
lads.
Goal wins.
They always do the old line, oh, no, the organisers said we could have a couple of minutes more because we were late on, Gavner. It's like, get off.
Passing the buck again.
Yeah, exactly.
Interestingly enough, though, with Malawi and Mali and Algeria, they're all in the same group as the hosts Angola. who apparently aren't having any trouble training.
So, what are you suggesting, Marcus? Naughty boy.
You're rubbing your chin.
Yeah.
No, I am a friend of Locke and all the teams in Africa.
Yeah. You are actually, Marcus. You're a friend of Africa. You've been there a few times.
You know I have.
Yeah.
Any time I get to talk about travelling, it's...
Yeah.
Always,
you know what Marcus was telling him on the way in, that his ideal job would be to present his own travel programme, and I was going, is that why you keep mentioning you've been to all these places? Okay,
are you angling for a move?
Yeah.
Are you going to post it on your Twitter like you're Ryan Babel?
Yeah,
I don't have Twitter.
Come on, Judith Chalmers.
Maybe I should get one.
Yeah. I'd love you to get a Twitter and just start complaining
Judith
about
Chalmers.
Luke's conduct on the ramble. Yeah. He won't let me talk about the unspoilt sands of Malawi.
I've never been to Malawi, but I hear those sands are magnificent.
Yeah. Look at you, you're trying to get free flights.
Yeah. Let's move on, Jamie Redknapp.
Come with me to Serie A. I think you'll agree.
Beautiful Qantas flight. In first class.
Brought to you with Fly BMI.
And Twitter.
Let's not give free advertising away.
No.
Okay. Serie A. It's all happening.
Some great,
it's like the glory days.
Weekend. That was brilliant. Mm. Some great games over the weekend. Really nice free-flying attacking football as well.
Yeah.
Roma beat Genoa 3-0. Two goals from Luca Toni.
His first goals for the club.
Yeah, absolute poacher's goals. He caused a lot of problems in that game as well. He looks
strong,
lively.
He's big and strong.
They're up to third now, Roma.
Yeah.
Inter came back from 2-2 away to Bari for 2-2. But again,
having a bit of a wobble. Siena, they struggle.
All in time for the Milan derby.
Yeah, you can almost see Inter perspiring at the press. At the prospect of it. It's going to be a really good game.
And Milan hammered 10-man Siena. Sorry.
Ronaldinho!
He was exceptional in that game.
He's back.
Hat-trick.
He looks like he's enjoying his football again. Penalty, header, absolute barnstorming strike.
A couple of times he just sort of romped through the defence very nearly. Scored like cheeky little chips and flicks, you know, like he does.
It looks like he's enjoying his football again. Obviously, for Ronaldinho, that's the most important thing because he's undoubtedly got the ability.
Well, that's because it's his job.
Yeah, that's true. But if he's not, he's one of those players that can really affect him, can't he? He was having a bad time about it. You know, let's not forget, like, fairly recently, there was talk of him leaving.
I think it's because the world's moved on to Ronaldo and Messi, I guess. They're so concentrated.
So he wants to get. I hope he wants to get his mantle back. I really do.
He's as good as them. On his day.
Oh, he is. But the goal of the game...
We haven't seen that day for a little while, though. No. But we're getting there.
The goal of that game was the Borriello volley, though. That was technically superb, that was.
Yeah, well, it is the Milan derby this weekend. Milan are now 6 points behind Inter with a game in hand.
Yeah.
So.
And they played them, as you said, at the weekend. So.
I'll tell you what. It's Milan are technically away to Inter.
Okay.
Is the way the fixture's drawn there. But Milan chief executive Adriano Galliani has insisted that David Beckham will always be welcomed to the club with open arms.
He'd always be welcome in the studio, though.
And open legs.
Oh, dear. I know we always talk about D-Beck, but it has to be said...
Let's talk about D-Beck.
This is unbelievable stuff. He said... Galliani said that Milan's doors will always be open for him in July, next January, or whenever he wants. He's the man I caught most. He's a fantastic footballer. You should see how he trains.
Oh.
But it's not the Ramble team. If you turn up, you might get a game. That's what he's saying.
He's like the Stephen Fry of football. Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Everyone loves him. Everyone in football loves him.
Getting better with age.
But he's saying they'll always be open. Now, think about it. This club... You know, Milan are one of the biggest clubs in world football and have been for quite some time. Mm. So for them to turn around and say, well, whenever you want, just turn up.
Yeah. It could backfire, though. He might just sort of turn up when he's 45 with his boots. Like, can I get a game?
He might do known on the South Coast as a Lasana Diabat, who was a player for Portsmouth who got told he was being released and refused to stop turning up for training with his boots and just said, well, I want to train anyway. I've got nothing else to do. Imagine Beckham doing that. It'd be most unbecoming for one of the biggest names in the world.
How dare you put those two people in the same breath?
Sorry.
What was he exempted?
Emails.
Should have been emails.
Sorry, Pete. Well,
uphold the emails.
Wait, when you get to announce your own section, then you can pipe up, all right?
He might do, because I might take you off it now.
This isn't your section, is it? This is the listener's section.
Thank you, James. Like, and I said, for that, James, you can go first.
Cool.
Okay. Dear Ramblers, due to the heavy snow and cancelled football, me and my mates decided to get some beer and go sledding. Brilliant idea from the off. I'm going to enjoy this. We found a big hill in the middle of the woods and subsequently spent the next few hours throwing ourselves down the hill on a tea tray, an IKEA bag and anything else flat we happened to find. As we were there, a guy and his kid showed up with a real sled. As you can expect, we felt a bit stupid compared to this guy. As he came closer to us, it turned out to be the legend that is Gianfranco Zola.
Ah, lovely stuff.
Yeah, we had a good chat with him and one of my mates asked him if we could have a photo taken. He was really good and said, sure. After the photo, one of the guys asked him what is happening to Colton Cole. Zola just laughed and then asked us for some sledding tips. I think it's fair to say that this made our snow day. What a legend. All the best, Gary Hodge.
That's superb.
You shouldn't answer a question with a question, Zola, if you're listening. If you want something from them, then at least give them something first. And they've asked you a question then.
Yeah.
There's a picture of that they sent as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
We'll get it up.
Must have been an odd conversation. Like, what's happening with Colton Cole? What is the best way to do sledding?
Yeah. Usually downhill. Yeah. Zola. Yeah.
You tell us. Italy, I got the mountains and everything.
They do, yeah.
We don't get snow very often.
And everything.
Gary Hodge. Good email. Good kick-off.
Good old school footballer's name as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I'm under pressure. I'm going next and I'm under pressure. Because okay. That was a good email.
Don't mess it up.
All right. Hello, Ramblers. Oh!
Hey.
At a Southend match a few months ago, I was nestled in the West Stand enjoying the game when the linesman gave a marginal offside against Lee Barnard. I do that sometimes. This decision seemed to have annoyed a rather large guy two rows behind who stood up and shouted, "What have you done with the real lino, fella? Did you put him in a cupboard, steal his kit and flag and then come out and pretend you're him? Go away, you twat." Bit harsh. I take it that's verbatim. At this point, everyone around us just turned to each other and cracked up laughing. So my question is, what is the most ridiculous thing you've heard shouted at a football match? Keep up the good work, Mark Kendrick. Thanks, Mark. Good question.
Ooh. Pete, you go first.
Yeah, go on.
Was it something
this is going to be amazing, isn't it?
Hartlepool United.
Yep.
People sing Blue Moon quite a lot. Blue Moon, I saw you standing alone, because they play in blue.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, really, really drunk guy. What did he looked a bit like a thin Neville Southall. Imagine the big ginger tash, yeah. Slightly balding, big fat face, basically.
Southall wasn't ginger.
And he was behind me. All right. He was behind me on the terracing in the down end, and he was so drunk. He was using the rest of the crowd to sort of balance on. So he was sort of doing a bit of a Superman over everyone. Yeah. Anyway, I'd never heard the start of ba 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 Blue Moon, but so from right in my ears, as loud as you could possibly hear, all I heard was ba 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 ba, and I thought this man had malfunctioned. I thought, oh my, what was he
doing? Under attack.
Doing it ba 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 ba. He did way too many bars. There's about 20 bars. There's like Blue Moon.
Pete, how many bars should they have?
Ba 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 ba. There's a few. There's a few bars.
8 to 10. Eight to ten.
But surely in that song, that's another fella singing the ba ba ba. Just start with the Blue Moon. Don't worry about ba 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 ba.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah. Well, that's class. That is brilliant, Mark. I hope that's a good answer. Yeah. I've got another one actually. Have you got one, Joe?
I have. Yeah.
Oh, you go then. You go.
I've got quite a strange one. Obviously, I'm an Arsenal fan, so you don't really hear a lot of chanting when I go over there. Yeah. But this was obviously around the time that 300 came out, because this kid just stood up and went, "This is Sparta."
Hey, that's a bit out of place for Arsenal, isn't it? Not Millwall in the 80s.
Out of place for anywhere in the modern world, I'd argue.
Was it away to Sparta Prague, then?
Oh, no. No, he already said he was at home, so...
Oh, OK.
Yeah.
Stop humping the desk in celebration at your pedantic victory that you never even got.
Yeah. It's all about the little victories.
I've got one that me and Marcus already know about, but I want to share it with the rest of you.
Marcus and I. You have actually said this on the podcast before.
Oh, what, episode 3 or something. There's no one now listening who's listening
all right,
to
okay, okay. Okay,
well, I may have mentioned this one before for the more studious of listeners.
Mention it again.
It's a very long time ago, though, mention so I'm happy to repeat it.
At least three weeks ago.
Marcus, were you actually there? Or did I
no,
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 okay.
There.
A few of us
there.
Were at, we used to live up in North Hampshire, and we used to go and watch Farnborough Town play. Mm. And the manager at the time when we were knocking
great
about
days.
There was a guy called Graham Westley. And he massively like loved himself. And because it's like a really small club, you sort of know a bit about the manager.
He
you see about.
He took him to the third round.
Oh no, he did well. He's okay,
oh,
but he thought he was like.
He thought
he was Alex Ferguson, you know.
Yeah.
And you could always hear what he was saying because it was a small stadium and everything. And I mean, Farnborough Town got a player sent off, and they're up against it, and they weren't going to win the game. And Westley started doing this thing where what managers do sometimes, where just argue every decision because they're losing. And it was like, oh, and he came up with this amazing quote. It's such a good quote. One of the opposition players put a big reducer in on one of his players. And obviously, they'd already had a player sent off. And Westley just jumps at a dugout and shouts at the top of his voice, "Ref, I've got a boy in the bath for less than that." It's a great shout.
That is absolutely superb. Absolutely
weird.
Superb.
Yeah.
I've got a boy in the bath for less than that. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That is superb. And I've got. Do you know what? Before I say my one, I'd like to remind us all from one that Chrissy Apple said.
Never heard of him.
Back in the good old days.
In the good old days, he used to present with us before Pete did. And he was at. Was it Canvey Island? Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
And he said that the manager of the club, I forget his name, he was like the caretaker, the chef, everything there. You know, he was a real one-man band. Anyway, halfway through the match, there's these toilets by the side of the ground, and I think some kids had climbed onto them. Yeah. And he just shouted, "Oi, get off the roof of that car, it's going to collapse!"
That's great stuff. That's worth repeating because that was brilliant. Yeah, at the time. I can remember that actually happening.
Yeah, I remember crying with laughter.
Any more stories about how great we all are?
Yeah, I've got loads.
I was watching Leatherhead once in the dizzy heights of the Ryman Division One, and this guy was giving the referee pelters. He was a real kind of old guy who'd like watched Leatherhead all his life, you know, and. He was shouting at the referee, "Referee, that's incorrect. Oh, what are you doing, ref? Get hold of it."
Yeah.
You know, and the referee made, he hadn't made a few, and then he made another absolute howler. And this guy just stood up and went, "Referee, yet another blunder."
See, the blunder is not a word that you use.
No.
It's newspaper talk.
That's yeah.
It's old school speak.
Yet another blunder.
That's like, it's like nookie. Doesn't really exist. That's on tabloid news.
Or having a romp.
Yeah.
I've got. If I may, I was at Rangers once as well, and Basil Bolley was playing for Rangers.
Oh yeah.
And there was like a clash of heads or something, and he went down. But he wasn't just lying there like normal footballs. He was like probably like on his back, arms and legs everywhere. And I was like, and there was this guy who was sitting there who looked like Willie Thorne, and he just stood up and went, "Ah, he's dead."
Brilliant. So, Marcus, who's getting the Championship Manager goodie bag?
Gary Hodge.
Oh, fair play.
Zola.
Well done. You've met Gianfranco Zola as a sort of warm up, and now the main event. You've got a Champ Manager goodie bag.
That's a victory for sycophancy, really.
Yeah.
You could probably sit in a Champ Man goodie bag and slide down a hill, possibly.
Yeah, not well.
Zola could.
Yeah, definitely. Zola has. Is that the end of Umbrella by Rihanna?
Yeah.
Profile time, John.
Profile time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Yay. That was nefarious Pete Donaldson over there.
Who have we got? George, Torlon, Mane, Oppong, Osman, Weah.
Oh.
Georgie Weah. I said the last one.
You made it sound like you picked his name out of like a raffle then.
Yeah. I went on a bit there, didn't I?
Yeah. You almost threw me.
But I physically can't.
But I'm still here.
Born 1st of October 1966. Born in Monrovia in Liberia.
Capital of Liberia, if I'm not mistaken.
You aren't. Whereas, of course, a Liberian politician and without a doubt was one of the big players of the game in the 90s. Mm. Lots of goals, massive player, great skill, agility, quick, powerful. Great shot, good finishing.
Yeah,
he had everything.
He did.
I think he did.
He had it all.
I think he did. He was raised in the slums of, as Luke says, Liberia's capital, Monrovia, and he played for a number of local clubs, and he eventually signed for a first division club, Mighty Barol. But he was considered too small and weak to play, and he wasn't really given much.
He wasn't
of a
small
run out
when
there.
He was.
Well, he was a big lad. I mean, he was sort of about 6 foot 6'1".
Yeah, right. Basketball team.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, well, obviously when he was younger, he maybe hadn't filled out a bit because he was very big and powerful, you know. One of those kind of, you know, people mention the likes of Drogba being big, powerful sort of African centre-forwards. I think he was one of the first ones, really. I mean, obviously Eboa was there as well.
I don't agree that he was as powerful as that, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, he was a big lad.
Yeah.
But Drogba is an absolute unit.
Tank. Mm. Yeah. Oh, no, I think Weah was.
Yeah, okay. I sort of always imagine Weah as being a little bit more sort of athletic, a little bit more sort of not as wide as trouble. But I'll take your point.
Okay. Well, he didn't play too much for Mighty, but the signed for their rivals, Invincible 11.
Great name.
that's brilliant.
And that's when he really started to play a bit more. He scored 21 goals in 26 league games for them, and attention was being drawn to him. His first major contract was signing for Cameroonian side Tonnerre Yaoundé. Which former Cameroonian great used to play for them?
Roger Mia. Roger. As Barry Davis would say.
Roger Mia. he did.
Did Ware ever play for Ghanaian side Hearts of Oak?
I'm afraid not.
They're my favourite African team. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I think I'd know that if they're my favourite team, wouldn't you?
That's right. but he never played in Ghana, I'm afraid. So he played for them. He had 28 appearances. League appearances, 20 goals.
Not bad.
But no sooner was he there, he was whisked away to Europe, to Monaco, under Arsene Wenger. Mm. And Wenger actually says that, you know, George Weah was a big influence on his career as well.
Right.
Wow.
So a lot of mutual respect there. He was a member of the Monaco side who won the French Cup in 91. And while at Monaco, he won African Player of the Year in 1989, which was his first of many major awards.
He won so many individual awards, George, right, isn't he, thinking about it.
Well, he did, and apparently he took it back home to Liberia for the entire country to celebrate with him.
Oh, class.
The African Player of the Year. And he did that with another prestigious award, which we'll move on to in a bit.
Okay.
For Monaco, he scored 47 league goals in 103 league matches. And, I mean, bearing in mind, that's your first taste of European football. And yeah. Monaco were a big side then.
Yeah. Well, they still are a big side. Still not quite 1-2, though. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Pete's a hard taskmaster. Yeah. He expects more.
I need two more goals and then he's there.
Okay.
To be honest.
Well, I'll
can't
find,
turn back the clock.
I'll find maybe some cup games and training ground matches.
if you're listening, Romario.
Yeah, sticking a couple of Romarios and we're there. He moved to, after spending 4 years with Monaco, he moved north to Paris Saint-Germain. And that is when
he got on my radar.
That's when he got on Luke Moore's radar.
Yeah, yeah.
the Luke Dar, yeah.
He won the French League in 94, and he, in 25 European matches for PSG, he scored 16 times.
Mm.
And one of those was, of course, that stunning strike against Bayern Munich. Personally, I first saw him play for PSG away to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah.
In the quarterfinals of the Champions League, 94-95, I think it was. And he was terrorising that Barca defence. And that was the game when I think I've mentioned it before on the show, when Bernard Lama, who was in goal for PSG, made a mistake.
Yeah.
Made a bit of an error and put Barcelona 1-0 up. I think it was maybe accredited
Lamar
to
Lamar used to do that.
Yeah.
I think it was accredited to Baquero, the goal, but it was really an own goal by Lama.
I love Baquero.
Or Lamar. And,
I love Lama as well.
Lama? Lamar?
It's Bernard Lamar.
Lamar.
Yeah.
And when Weah equalised, Weah, he honestly terrorised it. I was just sitting there, you know, thinking, who the hell is this? And he just absolutely, you know, and he scored, equalised, and he ran to celebrate with Lamar. And Lamar run, and they met in the halfway line, oh, down the centre circle.
In Fields of Barley.
Yeah. I think we've said this before, yeah. But it's always worth mentioning because I thoroughly enjoyed that moment.
Yeah.
Not as much as those two did. Yeah. And they beat Barcelona. They knocked them out, and they were eventually beaten by Milan in the semi-final. But Weah was top scorer at that tournament with 8 goals.
Yeah.
And that was the start of when he was going to become a global superstar, really. And he signed for Milan in 95 and was crowned World Player of the Year the same year, FIFA World Player of the Year, and is the only African to have won that award. Therefore, some people say he's the greatest African footballer of all time because of that.
Sammy Eto'o's finished second, I think.
Mm. That's right. I think he has.
Weah is undoubtedly up there with the greatest African players of all time.
He's one of the greatest players of our generation.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the generation slightly before us. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like you say, Marcus, like you said at the top of the profile, he had it all, you know. And
well, some say he was one of those ones who was like a precursor to the strikers now who can do everything, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not just a poacher anymore. He kind of works the channels. He works the whole back four.
But there's not
he
an
can
awful,
create, yeah. He can come deep, he can be a poacher, he can do all that.
I think you're right. And there's not an awful big place for just your sort of standard poacher in world football anymore. You've obviously got a couple of the sort of dying exponents of that, like your Pippo Inzaghi's and your Michael Owens every so often. But these days, like, they've got to be much more complete. Mm-hmm. And your most successful strikers are more than just that, you know.
And he, yeah, and he,
as George Weah definitely was that. Yeah.
Very much so, very much so. He won the Italian League, or Serie A, as it's called, in 96 and 99. And in 114 appearances, he scored 46 goals. And, of course, a memorable one against Verona, which we said the other week, I think, when he took
the Joby, it was a Joby Mekema. One time. It was a Joby Mekema, Marcus.
One of them he scored.
Yeah, it was a bit better than Joby Mekema. He almost lost control on the sort of centre circle, got it back again.
That's right.
He did that quite a lot, didn't he? Where the sort of telling bit where he got around the last sort of defender, he put it the one side of him and ran around
that's
the other
right.
side.
That's right, yeah.
But he used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, he was so quick and powerful, he could do.
So quick.
A little bit of controversy when he got into a little bit of scrap with Georgie Costa of FC Porto when he broke his nose, but apparently Georgie Costa was saying nasty, racist things. So, you know,
he still won the FIFA Fair Play Award that year even though he broke someone's
fair
nose.
Play, Gav, fair play.
Yeah. That's fair game. But yeah, he left Milan in January in 2000 and joined Chelsea.
Yeah.
And
I've got a little joke about his time at Chelsea. Do you want to hear it?
Tell us.
I'll tell you it, right? So George Weah is in the tunnel at Stamford Bridge playing for Chelsea against Manchester United.
Okay.
Back in the year 2000. Mm. And while he's in the tunnel, David Beckham comes up to him and goes, like, puts his finger over his mouth and goes, to George Weah.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's looking around a bit confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
So they go out and start playing. The game kicks off. And George Weah is in on goal, but he puts it wide.
Oh.
And he's a bit disappointed. But again, David Beckham runs up to him and puts his finger over his lips and goes,
Shh.
Everyone thinks it's a bit odd. Yeah. Anyway, so another 10 minutes goes past. George Weah gets booked.
Right, yeah.
And as he's getting the yellow card, Beckham comes up to me and goes, So every time George Weah does something wrong, David Beckham does that.
Yeah.
So Roy King pulls David Beckham to one side and goes, David, so what are you doing? Why do you keep doing that? And David Beckham whispers something in his ear and Roy King goes, no, David. He's a Liberian. You like that?
Nice.
Guaranteed the listeners will. So move on.
Well, thank you for that, Luke.
Thank you.
He won the FA Cup with Chelsea in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And there was plenty of magic going on there. And he said he'd never played in a tournament like it.
Yeah. What is this cup game you speak? This cup competition you speak
knockout?
Of?
Yeah. What?
What? So if we
lose, we're out. No.
And then he moved to Manchester City. He wasn't there very long. And then he was at Marseille and wasn't there very long. And then he went to the Middle East for Al Jazeera, not the the media outlet, the team, and retired in August 2003. Never played at a World Cup.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Bit of a Georgie Best.
Bit of a Ryan Giggs. He did play in African Cup of Nations in 96. Liberia went out in the first round. But since retiring, he often pays out of his own pocket for the national team to travel to matches abroad because they're so cash strapped.
I've read that he could easily be the Liberian sort of prime minister.
Well,
he's that popular.
He is. Well, I mean, let me just say that he was voted African Player of the Century by sports journalists from around the world.
That's amazing. They've had a few.
Who was voted South American Player of the Century?
Pele.
Edmundo.
Okay.
No, it was Pele.
That's nice.
European Player of the Century.
Zidane.
No.
Cruyff?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good answer, James.
Yes. Can I have some points on that?
You can.
Yeah. So
you
he's,
can
a have... good, he's an esteemed company then.
Yeah, yeah. What with James? he does loads of charity work now. Lots of stuff for his own sort of war-ravaged country and all sorts of things. And as you say, Luke, in 2005 he ran for presidency in Liberia, much for because the people wanted him to.
Mm.
But he didn't get it, unfortunately.
Not that many people wanted him to, then.
Well, I say unfortunately, I don't know anything about Liberian politics. I don't know whether it would be good or not.
I've not even seen his manifesto.
Don't dip your toe in.
No. Stay away.
Maybe
stay away.
Taxes would have gone on getting the national team abroad. Who knows? It could have been awful.
Who knows? I shall end with a quote from the great Arsene Wenger, who was his first coach when he moved to Europe. He said, Weah was a real surprise. For me, it was like a child discovering a chocolate bunny in his garden at Easter. I have never seen any player explode onto the scene like he did. Well, there he is. Exploding into the deep end. That's all the fame.
Covering everyone in chocolate.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. a lovely time was had by us. I hope it was by you. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. And, of course, the website is thefootballramble.com, where you can look at what's going on at Ramble Tube with some YouTube clips of what we've been talking about today. And there's Jim Love Toy blogs, and there's all sorts of things in there. Check it out.
Yeah.
And
there's a banner at the top of the page on thefootballramble.com, and you can get yourself a Ramble Force Hall t-shirt or a Dean Windass Hall of Fame t-shirt.
And let's not forget betway.com/footballramble.
Yeah.
There we go. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James.
Goodbye, Luke.
We're all off to climb through a window onto our training pitch. Cheers.
Awesome.
It's a goal. And it's not Pete's team who scored it.
Who are they playing, Pete?
West Bromwich Albion, Luke.
It's a big game. Oh, it's a huge game. Pete's commitment to the Ramble means he's not even watching it. Well, he is, because he's not on the telly, but he wouldn't be watching it.
They've moved
the Forest to Monday as well.
A lesser man would have rung us up and gone, I can't do the Ramble tonight. My leg.
My William Gallas back.
Yeah.
It's a nice volley. Bomb 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 dang 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 dang
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.